Of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. I am your host, Jazz Mar Jazz Bennett, mother, educator, host, and I have a fantastic show for you today. Now, if you are a friend of the show, you know that you are definitely my Jazzy crew. And so thank you so much for rocking with me, guys. We are on episode 30, and nice. You can follow me. Follow me, subscribe, and all those good things at Jazzy Conversations with Jazz on IG, Facebook, on YouTube. Listen, I'm trying to make my imprint on TikTok. That would be JazzMar1024 on TikTok.
Something we need to work on together.
We do. And we're gonna really get into it. You know, thank you so much for rocking with me. I appreciate it. I appreciate your love and your support. Thank you so much to those of you who have sponsored the show at different intervals of the time. Like, I still feel like I'm a baby at this, but this is episode 30. So I'm like, this is like another 10 count for me. So I cannot wait. My son asked me earlier, Mommy, are you going to get to episode 100? And I said, I'm going to get to episode infinity. So we're going to roll and rock with this until the wheels fall off, which they never are. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you about today's show. Today's show, I have a very special guest with me. I have someone that I've been watching for a while. I've gotten the opportunity to see her growth. I've been mesmerized by her growth. I respect her growth. And it's something that I feel aspires and inspires those to follow suit, if they are very honest. So I have with me the pleasure of interviewing Miss Marchena Latrice, who is first and foremost a daughter, she stated. Then she's a mother. And then she's an author. She's a motivational coach. And she's an entrepreneur and so much more. And I love her tagline is that her blessing comes from being able to make yesterday jealous. So yes, I really, really, yes, I do. I really like that motto, that tagline. And that's amazing. So let's give a round of applause for Miss Marchena Latrice.
Listen, that just, when you said it on the couch the other day, I really thought about it because you never know how many people are truly watching you.
Right.
And even just from your statement, like what you said, it was like, this isn't somebody who just saw me. Like, you were really watching me, because what you said, just like, I was slept on, but we'll get to that. But it was just like, okay, yeah. She's really been watching me. So yes. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. And thank you for having me on your couch.
Listen, you coming back, because we had other topics to talk about, but listen, what we covered was really good.
I'm game.
All right.
Have you got a lot of positive feedback from that show?
I got both.
Good.
I got both. Some people were like, you know, it is for whoever it's going to be. And I like, which is what we said, though.
Right.
The viewer did reach back out to me, and she said basically she was able to make her decision based upon the feedback that we gave her. And I told her I wish her the best and blessing.
That's amazing. Because that's what we're here for. I you know, we get on here and we do this, and, you know, we set out, we have a purpose. And I'm pretty sure, like with you, my purpose is, you know, if I can touch one person's life, or if I can encourage one person to never give up, because my motto is you can always, like, now is the time for a dope comeback. And I feel that you can come back from anything with the right resources, with God, you know, and then with a great mindset. You know,
I was just gonna say, have that mindset.
A great growth mindset in order for you to make that comeback, and then consistency is key. So we're here. Episode 30, and I entitled episode 30 The Wild Card. So do you know why I entitled
it? No, and
that?
I'm nervous to find You're out nervous. Why it's the wild card.
So just think about the wild card, like what the wild card represents, what it represents in sports, what it represents when you're playing cards. That wild card is the card that has the ability to show up
and
to change the game, to become any other card that they want to be. And so I kept, you know, when I title episodes, and then when I give you a theme song, like, because I kind of gave you a theme song, but we'll kind of go back to that. Like, I gave you Lizzo's song, if you've been looking at the promos that I've been doing, but she has
a
song.
You know, I was banned on Facebook until
you told me, and I'm like,
that's
how?
Never happened for me, so I'm not sure. Now I can see things, I can post, I just can't comment, share, mm-hmm. or like.
So listen, if it's somebody out there with a little hateration that you're drinking, like, I hope it's not that though. But that's, you know, her show and her message and what she does. She has a great platform. So Facebook,
loosen up
a little bit. Like, let her live a little bit. So I hope it's nobody like reporting or anything. I just think that's so petty.
It was just weird, but
let's just say it was a glitch in the system, and you're gonna be back up and running. We got it.
We still have Instagram. We still have the live.
The live factor. So that's why I call this episode the wild card, because when I look at you, I feel like any avenue that you want to go down, you're going to pursue it. And you've been showing up. And so I love that. And one of the main things that I want to start with is you as a mom, because for all of May, I've been spotlighting the dope mothers out there, and you definitely are one of those dope moms. Biscuit is actually behind set right now. She's on set right now. So I've been kind of getting their interactions, so which is hilarious. And so
It be your own kids.
Like, I'm listening to the whole conversation. I'm like, yep, that would have been some one of mine would have said. They, you know.
It be your own kids.
Right. So tell me about motherhood. Tell me about how has motherhood been for you? But I want you to first start off with your upbringing and the principles that your mother gave you that you've instilled into your daughter.
The main one I can say, failure is just not an option. My mom, that is something like, as far back as I can remember, she has always, 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 marching to failure is not an option. So for me, I took that as whatever comes my way, I got to figure it out, like figure that shit out, honestly, yeah. Because failure is just not an option for me in any aspect. So when I became a mom, anything that needed to be done, anything that has to be done, failure is just not an option. I got to make that shit happen for her. Like, yes, she depends on me. So, I think just seeing my mom, like, most of you know my story or know my mom. That's not my story. That's my mom's story. She was 14 when she had me. So, for one, another thing that she instilled was history was not going to repeat itself. I was not going to be a teenage mom. I had Biscuit when I turned 22. Right. So, those are just things just to see now that I'm older and I can kind of look back at it, because it was like when I was younger, it was like, dang, every time I turn around, my mama worked. Like, she was working 7 to 3, 3 to 11. It was like she would come home, you know, to get us ready at 3 when we got out of school. But it's like she went right back to work. She's not getting off till 11 o'clock at night. So it was like on the weekends, we knew 7 to 3, 3 to 11, Carol going to be at work.
Yeah.
So it's like now that I'm older to see she was busting her ass to make sure that we had, and also to achieve her personal goals, which is something that I spoke about in my recent book. Sometimes we as moms get so caught up in being a mother, we forget our own personal goals.
Yeah.
My mom was still able to take care of us as well as achieve her personal goal as well. She just was hooded as a doctor in December of last year.
Congratulations.
So that also just showed me, too, it doesn't matter how long it takes. It's going to happen. So all her hard work was not in vain. She made sure she was able to work and we were provided for. And then she achieved her personal goal as well. Even though it took her a little longer, that goal was still the mission, and it was mission accomplished.
Yeah. And so is that how you look at life?
Yeah. In all honesty.
Yeah. Because so you never put like a time limit on yourself.
I had to stop because I felt like once upon a time, and I think because social media is so just in our face now, I really wanted to be married at 30. I wanted to have kids at a certain age, you know. And it's like now I've gotten to where that shit gonna happen when it happens. You know, I'm not saying I'm gonna delay everything, but I really had to get out of that mindset because I found myself being disappointed in myself because I haven't achieved this goal or that goal, or I'm not married. I don't have the family. I don't have the house. I don't have all of that. But then I was starting to neglect all of the shit I had worked for. Can we curse on the couch?
Well, you sure have.
My bad.
We can't know. Look, you have.
But
you can. You grown. We grown on the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. You're good.
It just really made me think, like, you so obsessed with what you don't have. You're not really looking at all the stuff you've worked hard to obtain. And sometimes you have to sit back and think, it's somebody your age who's wishing that they had that. And here you are wishing that you had more. So, you know, I had to sit back and look at reality for what it was and take the social media spotlight out of it. And what is going to be for me is going to be for me when it's my time.
And I like that. I like that. I like that you came to that realization, because it's kind of like that hot pocket mentality where you feel like it has to happen right now, especially since we're so immersed with seeing what everybody else is doing.
Exactly.
It's like, dang it, it only took him this amount of time, or it only took her this amount of time, and I know I'm as dope as this person.
But
so it's like,
you've
got
to
stop. So I'm glad to hear that you don't like
compare.
You got to
think
to
what you were
compare yourself like that.
We don't know what it took for them to get there.
We don't. We don't. And so that's a coin. That's kind of one of your first coins for today with this episode. Like, you truly don't. You don't know anyone's path. You don't know their struggles. You just see like the glow of it. You never see their grows or their hardships. And so just circling back, I love the relationship that you have with your daughter. And
when I say that, it's gonna be like this.
Listen, when I say that, the things that you've done to create a legacy for her have been outstanding, you know, astonishing. You know, I came into being introduced to you, madam. I'm throwing my eyes at that. I came to be introduced to you by your mom because that's all she did was talk about you in a positive light on social media. And it was always biscuit this or biscuit that. And then when we came into the pandemic, I think that's when everybody was really, really introduced to her, because, and you can tell me who had the idea to create the book that she did, but that was an ingenious idea, was for her to basically create a diary and document what she was going through, what she was feeling, what she was experiencing while being on lockdown and while being, you know, isolated from everyone. And she did that and turned it into a book. And it wasn't just any book. I'm pretty sure it's a bestseller. She gained some popularity on our news channels,
she
you know,
did.
Got news coverage at her elementary school. She was an elementary student when she did that. So tell me what led to that moment. Cause I've prefaced what happened, and that's not even the pinnacle that I know that your mom has for you. That's what's so amazing. That's probably like the foundation that she has for you. So I can imagine what she has up her sleeve for you, and then what you want to do just because of her introducing you to what you can become. So you being a mother at 22 years old, did you see that this is where you were going to take your daughter?
No, and I just posted a picture of her last week, and when I post pictures of her, I think sometimes I use the same caption, but I always say, my daughter is not who I expected her to be. She's so much more. Mm-hmm. Because this little person, like, she never ceases to amaze me. And I honestly mean that in a good way and a bad way. Because I think I got 3 gray hairs on this side from her.
But, oh, just wait. Just wait till
listen,
they just
she's
start
only
everywhere.
In sixth grade, right?
Oh,
so
just wait.
I can only imagine. But yeah. With the book idea, I will say it was more of a mutual idea. And then during the time of writing, the first part of the writing was very difficult because she wasn't even with me. I had contracted COVID. Mm-hmm. So as I'm writing, I'm sending her via email to look at this and like, okay, like she'll tell me what she's thinking. And then I'm kind of like putting it together in, you know, in paragraph formation, and she's looking at it. Well, I want to add this or take this away. But it was really hard because we weren't together to write it, you know, for, like I said, the first half of the book. And then when she came home, it was kind of like what she had already sent me from being over with her dad. I had kind of like formatted everything, but I don't even think we expected the book to be as big, and in all honesty, we didn't. We just gave it to her principal as a gift, and the principal took off with it.
Like, oh, that's awesome.
So, you know, that wasn't something like, oh, we were planning to be on the news, or that really took off from us giving the book to her principal as a gift, and it just took off from there. And it was, you know, her moments in fame, and I think everyone enjoyed it. We did a book launch. Actually, I take that back. That was the other thing. I knew it wasn't, I'm not going to say, I'm not downplaying it, but we did like a book launch, but that was mm-hmm. just for family and friends. And we still hadn't even sent it to the, like, it was never like, oh, I need to present this to the media. Mm-hmm. But after we did the book launch, it was like, okay, well, Miss Brown, which was her principal, she was infatuated with Biscuit. So, okay, yeah. Let's give her one. And it just, she, next thing I know, I think her dad called me and it was like, we're meeting at the school. Yeah. The school board wants to talk about it. Then the school board was like, oh, the news channels are going to call. So it kind of just took off from there. But the idea was more of a mutual idea. And we were just trying to find stuff to do because we were bored. The world was shut down. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's amazing. That's amazing. And so what type of mother do you strive to be? Whew. Like, if you had to describe your parenting skills, how would you describe yourself?
I want to be the mom that is the best friend. And I know sometimes mothers that have daughters will say, I don't want to be her best friend. I want to be the mom. I want to be both, because I want her to be able to have those conversations with me when she gets older. You know, if she wants to go lay in the bed and cuddle with me and talk about something, I want her to feel that she has a friend in her mom. I am going to be her mom first and foremost, mm-hmm. and she's always going to know that. But I don't, I mean, for to each his own, but I don't tell moms, oh, well, you shouldn't say that you don't want to be her friend. I want to be her friend. I want her to know she has a friend in her mom, because when the rest of them chicken heads that she learned along the way, you know, meet along the way, when they don't turn out to be solid friends, she's going to encounter that, she's always going to know she has a friend in her mom. Mm-hmm. So I strive to be both. You know, I think people see us, we play on social media, or people see us, you know, in person and how we joke and things like that. Yeah. But she know I don't play the radio. Mm-hmm. She know.
Yeah.
She know I don't play about them grades. She knows I don't play about disrespect. No one can come and tell you that my child has ever been disrespectful. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. Not my child. And if she did, she must have failed that day, because I need to see the knot, because she know I don't play.
Yeah.
So I really strive on being a balanced parent. I want to have that open communication. I know she going to like little boys. I know little boys going to like her. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to joke about it. I want her to be comfortable enough to talk to me about it, because the moment I pounce on her, like, she's going to shut down, mm-hmm. and she's not going to come to me. And that's what I don't want. I want to be able to have that open line of communication with her at all times.
Gotcha.
So
That's a great thing to have, and it's an important thing to have, because mm-hmm. with so many things happening that we don't know about in terms of social media, mm-hmm. it's like we as parents almost can never turn it off, and you never know what's been fed to them. So I think building them up to be strong and to know how to critically think. Like, I just did a show on Sunday, and one of the counselors on the show was like, you know, we really need to teach our kids how to critically think.
That is
they
important.
Don't know critical thinking. And she was talking from the high school perspective, because it's so many things that are thrown at them that is something like, look, do you have common sense? Do you know how to conduct yourself if you were faced with this? So that's really important. So that piece of having her feel comfortable coming to you, that is a cornerstone, I think, of parenting.
I love
nowadays.
That word when you use it, cornerstone.
it just simply is. And I, you know, did you feel like you had that with your mom?
Yes and no. My mom was 14 raising a baby. So it was like we grew up together. Mm-hmm. Now that we're older, well, I'm older. She older too, but now that I'm older,
right.
Yeah, I feel like we have that relationship. And of course, we've had to go through some things, and it was just like, I think out of fear, like I said, when she was always like history would not repeat itself, she was harder on me because she didn't want me to repeat the same mistakes. Oh, I can't even say a mistake, but the decisions that she made, she didn't want me to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. So I think she was a little bit harder, which made it a little bit harder for me to talk to her. But then at the same time, she's 14 years old, 15, you know, just growing up. I just sent her a picture on Sunday. It's crazy of... after my sister's graduation, like, my mom looks like a baby in the face. Mm-hmm. And she has two high school graduates. My sister and I are 3 years apart. So she has two, and we're at the dining room table. And I said, girl, you look like a baby raising babies, but you did that.
Yeah.
Because she did, you know. So I think that was the other thing, too, just knowing that when I was younger, to not have that open relationship with her. It wasn't a bad thing. Like I said, I think she was trying to figure out how to be a mom, try to figure out who she was as well, making it in life. You know, it was just like, I got to make sure I'm a little bit harder on my girls because I don't want them mm-hmm. to fail. So I think that's what put a strain on it. But now that we're older, we talk about everything.
That's good.
You know,
that's
so.
Good. I think that's one of the dopest relationships. And I bet you she probably is like, I bet you she's like a sucker for your
mama.
Daughter. You know how grandparents just, they have no barriers for
listen,
their
that little
for their
girl
grandkids.
Get away with murder.
Right.
You hear
just,
me?
Y'all just be some simps when it comes to your grandkids.
What was this energy when we were growing up?
Right.
Like, yeah. It's like she get more Christmas gifts now. Like, mm-hmm. wait a minute. I got like 3 gifts.
Right.
Malia got 12.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
As is life. Look, like, you just got to just like roll with the punches. Like,
and she out here, I have the nerve to be asking for more grandkids.
Yeah.
Girl, I'm barely making it with the one we got now.
Right. Do you feel that your daughter is a champion for you? as you are a champion for her? Or do you think she gets the grasp, the concept of that? Do you think she's your champion as much as you are hers?
I think it's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Doesn't that feel good, though?
I love
it. Like, when you can have your kids boost you up, like, they're all concerned about your well-being. Or like, mommy, you have a show today. And you know this talk. Like, I can talk to you like that. Because I don't know if she helps you, like, when you're getting ready on Thursdays for Chat with China. Or even if you're writing a book. Like, does she do things like,
Mom, I know mommy needs her. Writing.
See ya. That's important. So you gotta. For me, it's important. I just wanted to know if it was as important to
it
you.
It is. Because it feels important to be able to, it not important, but it feels good to be able to be in the industry of whatever your entrepreneurial mind is going, but to have your child with you. In my latest publication, I put one of my chapters is, I learned the game with my daughter on my hip. And then the next chapter is, I taught her the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, it feels good to be it. Because also, too, I think most moms get worried when they want to get into their career path, mm-hmm. but they don't know a way to involve their kids.
Right.
And luckily for me, being in the industry with event producing and things like that, I can have her a part of that very close by. So it's like she's not missing out.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, and that's why I invite my sons to the show, you know, to take pictures of the podcast and to
behind the scenes
taking pictures of the podcast and to film and all that, because I want them to experience how the makings of this millionaire that their mommy is going to become and beyond occurs. And it's consistency, and you got to put in the work and know, like, so listen, I can go on and on about like his little paycheck, but I'm going to just leave him be and let him be great.
Don't be mentioning paychecks in front of Biscuit, because Biscuit going to be trying to figure out how she can get paid. And
listen, you got to put in some work. You got to work. And so you mentioned some things. You mentioned your various publications. You mentioned, you know, that, you know, we love to use this curator when it comes to events. You didn't use that word, but I love when they come up with, like, I'm curating this event on Saturday. Like, really? Well, listen, tell me about it.
I'm producing an event.
Right?
I'm producing an event.
Exactly. So I want to know, all things Marchena, like, you know, I was introduced to you, like I stated, when you were modeling, or when you started your modeling career, and you told me that you had just had Biscuit. You said that she was 2 years old when you started modeling. So I want to know, tell me about your progression to who you are today. Like, what do you consider to be your comeback story? How did that all come about?
So when you said that, it really caught me off guard. Mm-hmm. I wanted to cry on the couch. Because it was very true.
It was real, though, and I can elaborate.
It was. You elaborate first.
So let me tell you what I saw. Like, I shared on her show. I was on her show last Thursday, and at the top of her show, she gives an opportunity where, you know, you can give your shout outs. And so my last shout out was to her. And I gave her a shout out because I don't know what made this stick in my brain, but as I continued to see her over and over on social media, and then I saw when she was starting Chat with China and how she started it, and then how it has morphed and how it has progressed, and she's like a year and some months in, and the things that she's been able to do with the show. And I'm like, hold on, I got to pay attention to her, because she's not a fluke. If people wanted to call you that at the beginning, that's not even what I was referring to when I talked to her. But the way that I saw the progression of her show with the sponsorships, with, you know, with the wine sponsorship, that was ingenious, with the connections that I saw her make, I was like, okay, she's reminding me of somebody. And I'm like, okay, I can vibe with her. I'm like, I like it, because she's about her business, and I can respect anybody who's about their business and they can back it up with the talent. And so what I saw in her early on, I met her, had to be like, I want to say
2011. Actually, Biscuit was about to turn two, so it was 2011.
That's a long time ago. Many, yes. Many moons ago. So many, many moons ago, like, I met her, and I was the host for a fashion show, a modeling troupe that was here, and they used to have fashion shows throughout the year, and I was their host, and so Marchena was one of their models. And so when you're behind the scenes and you're looking at the shows and the practices, you get to see the personalities of the models. And so sometimes it can be cliquish, sometimes not, but you get to hear. So in passing, like even if I'm going to the restroom or even if I'm getting makeup done or whatever, and especially when it's your turn to walk on the runway during practice. So you can hear what that model cannot hear on the runway. You can look at the looks that the models may get. And so you know that they have what you consider like the supermodels or the ones that they just think mm-hmm. are gonna stunt or whatever. So I always felt like they just kind of not necessarily dismissed you, but I feel like they kind of overlooked your ability. And in saying that, I feel like they weren't expecting for you to morph into what you are now. And so here's what I will never forget about her. When she, every time she would come down that runway, in my mind, I felt that she knew that. I felt that you knew that. And I felt like the attitude that you gave on that runway was like, bitch, I am and I'm here. It was just like that. Cause I'm telling you, any fashion show that you see, it's like when she walks and then she turns and then she looks or whatever, it's almost like, and is. And I loved it. I was like, okay. It wasn't like I was just on your jock or anything like that. Cause I may not have even said anything to you during my time hosting it. I may have been cordial to you mm-hmm. and have spoken to you. I'm just not that person. Like if I don't necessarily know you and if you're not really jovial to me, it'll take a while for me to warm up to you, but I'm always nice. But I don't remember ever sitting and having a conversation like this with you.
Right.
But I saw her, and it's like, I'm a Scorpio, so I observe a whole lot. And you know, like Scorpios, you know, we'll we'll observe all day and then never say so like right now, like 10 years later, I'm now saying something about it, right? Something I observed 10 years ago. But I feel, and looking from the outside in, I just wonder if that always happened to you in the arenas that you were in, and what did you gain from those experiences? And like I said, that may not have been your perspective, but for someone looking from the outside in, for me, that was kind of like your comeback story. Like, okay, like, wow. Like, I feel like maybe she was someone that they didn't count on to be as dope as you are.
So again, when you said that Thursday, it really caught me off guard, because not only, you know, people will talk and be like, oh, girl, I've been knowing you, I've been watching yeah. you. But when you said specifically exactly what you just said, it was like she wasn't just at the fashion show hosting it. You were really watching me.
I really am.
And yeah. when you said it, it just really, to be honest, my comeback story is because I felt like I had to prove some people wrong.
Gotcha.
And that was my perception. And it's not to shoot down those of the troop, but a lot of those that they praised or thought that they were going to be this big, you wanted to put all of your energy into them. And then what happened?
Yeah.
And then it was like with me, they slept on me. Mm-hmm. So I want to kind of give the backstories as to why I even joined the modeling troupe. So I had lost my self-esteem when I had Biscuit.
Okay.
I had gained a little weight, mm-hmm. not too much. I was like 120 pounds. But at that time, that's a lot of weight for me. I had a little stomach.
What did you say?
Like 120 pounds.
So shut up. Like,
what? But you know,
I got 120 pounds in my midsection. Like, huh?
But back then, you know, 20. That was a lot. So
like, I got you.
You know, and I
was. Especially if you're trying to be an aspiring model. So I definitely get what you're saying.
And actually, I didn't even want to be a model before then. I really wanted to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. But it was like once I had my daughter, I kind of just wasn't for sure what I wanted to do.
Right.
And I knew whatever I needed to do, I needed to be home with her. Then I wanted to get into acting. But I knew that eventually that would probably take me away from her. And I really just, I'm a first time mom. I want to be with my baby everywhere. So I was like, let me just find something to do locally that I can, you know, bring her with me. So someone told me, I can't even remember who told me about Walk This Way, but I started with them. And in the beginning, it was horrible. Like I will never forget. And after this very first show, it really taught me that I will never allow them to count me out again. So the very first show with Walk This Way Productions, I had been on to all the practices. I was still nervous. And yet I'm thankful, but yet I'm mad at the same time. The day of the show, I was pulled.
Really?
My family had bought tickets. My daughter was there.
Okay.
I was pulled because she said she didn't think I was ready. Mm-hmm. And I still felt that I was nervous. And she said, you know, sometimes they'll see it on the runway. But when I got on the runway, even in practice, like the practice the day of the show, I am practicing. It wasn't until the show got ready to start, she let me know. Oh, wow. And she was pulling me. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, I need you to help behind the scenes. Or designers don't have enough clothing. But after the show, she was like, I just didn't feel like you were ready. And I was very angry about it because it's like, for one, I put in just as much work as everybody else here. You got mm-hmm. people that's been missing practices and everything. And I've been here. My family has paid. That was just a mess all within itself. But I didn't give up.
Good.
I came back to practice. Mm-hmm. And that just made me work even harder because I had something to prove to you guys. That next show, I was in all the scenes, baby. All the scenes. I want to shout out Raquel and I want to shout out Malik. When I tell you love those Malik. Two, we do. Malik and I'm shooting so with dope. Him soon. But yeah. Those two, Raquel came to my house and practiced with me. And shout out to Ziggy, too, because Ziggy, after Quell left and Malik left, Ziggy took me under her wing. Sixies. And yeah. Ziggy just, like, really, like, after I started working with Ziggy, you can tell me nothing then, baby. Like, nothing. And then it was like, okay, I want to help off of the runway. Like, I want to help with the show. Like, I was very intrigued with putting the show together, putting scenes together. Mm-hmm. So I offered my services there, and it was kind of like, nah, we got this.
Okay, cool. Okay.
I'm going to let y'all have it since y'all got it, you know?
Listen, well, let me put a pin real quick in that. The feedback that she gave you, do you feel like it helped you?
It motivated me. I was just mad at the moment because it's like, I done put in all the work.
Yeah.
So, at the same time, I feel like I'm thankful for it, but I was just mad at the moment.
Gotcha.
So,
I do want to say, here's what I do want to say, and it never has to be, we never have to circle back to it, but for some reason, this is popping in my head right now. What they were doing at that time, it had not been done here in Polk County, and I feel like it opened up so many doors for a lot of people, mm-hmm. and they were so ahead of their game. In my opinion, and I only say that because I saw modeling troops in Tallahassee, and they came from Tallahassee. Yeah, exactly. So it's just like what they were trying to do and what they built. I still feel like it was unmatched, and I know they were very serious about the craft of it. And so out of anything, and if anyone had to ever interview me about it, but I'm on my show. If anybody had to ask me about it, like, I would give kudos to that because I feel like it opened up a whole brand new avenue for women to get the self-esteem that they needed and the venue that they needed and whatever it is that they were trying to get. But it was some negative as well. And I feel like you just had to be,
strong.
You had to be a strong person. And in any industry, I feel like you're going to have tough skin.
You are. And that's why I said I was mad at the moment. But right. I understood, you know, so, and that's why, like I said, I was more motivated from that to, oh, baby, you won't cut me from not near another scene. Like, I had that in my mindset because I knew I'm not going to come out here and have my family come and buy tickets and I'm not walking. Like, no, that will never happen again. So again, I wanted to get into helping with the event mm-hmm. and then just, you know, a lot of negative things just came about. But I will say, that was the platform for what I needed because 2 or 3 years later, I launched my own fashion show.
You sure did. I was like, wait a minute. What?
I launched my own.
It's like, okay.
My best friend and I, Ashley, launched Strive for a Cause.
You sure did.
And because I had sat and watched them mm-hmm. put all this stuff together. Now, granted, our first show was with Ashley. It wasn't like a sellout, but it was just like, I could do this again. Like, and and the show has just grown, and I'm excited about being able to bring it back this year. Mm-hmm. But with that modeling troupe, it was just like, that was my comeback because I don't think, it was like, okay, she's going to be all right. She's good enough to walk in the scene. She's going to be all right. But she ain't going to be dope. She's not going to be as good as the others. Like, and that's the feedback. And that's what I felt, you know, from some of them. It was like, oh, she'll, you know. And then it's crazy because you had some girls on the troupe just were like, girl, you seen yo, like, they encouraged, they motivated me. Like, it's just Kia Payne. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Kia was like, girl, when you learn to work them hips the right, I'll never forget mm-hmm. it. And it was just like, I will go home and practice because I just wanted to be better. Like, I just knew I got this. Yes. I got this. So in a way, it was like some negative but positive as well. But that is really, to be honest, that actually was my foundation mm-hmm. to branch me off into everything else. So I can't say I have anything bad to say. For me personally, other than, you know, what will remain personal. But other than that, that was my platform.
Yes.
And I took off.
Yes. And speaking of taking off, you definitely did. So we're going to get into all of that. And I want you to tell us the ins and outs of it. You know, how did you become this dope? Let's talk about your venture into becoming an author and you ghostwrite for others. Like, you help people launch their own personal books. How did you get into being a motivational coach? What inspired you to go off and get your certificate to be a coach? And let's talk about this event coordinator and and everything else and chat with China. Like, let's get into it.
Okay.
So tell us what morphed first. So give us a timeline of what happened.
What morphed first? I feel like all of it really came together. No, actually, you know what? This is the God.
Because you said that people say she's doing too much. And I'm like, I look at her and I'm like, yes. Show them that it can be done. It can all be done.
So this is the God honest truth. And I don't know who's watching this. I don't know who will ever hear this. But baby, let me tell you something. Chat with China, I swear on everything, was in my mind before I even had Biscuit. It wasn't Chat with China. So listen, I don't know if you guys remember on BET, they had the Sita show. Like the So they had Miss Sita. And I just was like, I wanted to do something like a talk show host. And listen, when I tell y'all, one day at work, I spent the entire day Googling addresses. I was looking up Steve Harvey. I was looking up Montel Williams. Like, I was looking up people that I could reach out to send letters to, like the producers of the TV show The Game. Like, I was sending letters to them and trying to figure out, like, hey, how do I get this? You know, I was even wanted to do just, it was called the Red Kool-Aid Talkers at that time. Like, I was, this was before I had Biscuit. Yeah. So it was like something like that was in my mind, but it was like, I just got into, you know, relationships and motherhood. It's just, I just kind of put it to the side. So Chat with China actually came in January of 2019. I had played with it a little bit before in 2018, but Altricia Treaty invited me to her vision board party. And I went to the vision board party, and one of the models I know, Johnny C, she had on her vision board the red table.
That's one of my faves.
I love her.
Hi, Johnny C. I love you, baby.
So she had on her vision
self,
board.
Your pretty self.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
So pretty.
She had on her vision board a red table. So Treaty, you know, Treaty Extra. We love Treaty. She had everybody go through and tell what was on her, on the the table.
Yeah.
I mean, what was on their vision board. So I was very intrigued. Like, why did she put a red table? So her thing was, I need to be able to come to the red table sometimes. And I have, she struggled with wanting to open up to people, and it was her New Year's resolution as well, you know, as to be able to talk to people. And on the way to the vision board party, I was like, I don't even know why Treaty invited me. Like, I talked to her, but not all the time, but God, I'm going, you know, because she invited me. I'm not turning it down. I'm going. Had an amazing time. And I was just like, but if, on my way there, I was like, God, well, I'm going to this vision board party. It's late. I'm tired, but I'm going. And I went. And I, like I said, I already played with Chat with China before. And I was just like, I need to step back and, you know, come with it the correct way. It was meant for me to be there because the reason that I have Chat with China is I want us to be able to have conversations. You and I just had an amazing conversation.
Yeah, we did.
And that person was able to get the feedback that they needed without all of our viewers knowing exactly who she was.
Right.
And that's what I want, for people to be able to have that outlet, but without being judged. So when she put it on her vision board, this red table, she's looking to open up, and that's something she's working on. I promise you, I was like, God, you knew what you was doing.
Because he always does that.
It's he like, does. Yeah. So that's when Chat with China launched, and I was working on that. What came next was my book. I was working with a mentor. And I was like, I want to give back to the youth because I want them to. I struggled so much in high school. I felt like not academically wise, but I just felt like I probably not really hung with the wrong group. But it was just like I looked up to the wrong group. I didn't get in trouble because I knew better.
Yeah.
But it was just like I just felt like there were so many things I probably would have changed about high school. And I wanted to help those girls to make sure they didn't make those same mistakes that I did. So I was like, I want to be a youth mentor. So I got with the mentor myself. And she helped me publish my first book. So Chat with China is going on. I have my first book. It's being published. And I got the opportunity to speak at Pace Center for Girls. And, you know, that went really well, too. So I was like, okay, I can do this. I can get in front of little girls and talk to them and, you know, still be myself. So that went well. So at that point, we have the fashion show. We have Chat with China's rolling. We have my first book is rolling. And then in the process, I was getting ready to write my second book. And that was inspired because I went to when Biscuit was at Lincoln. Listen, they really thought her daddy was the stay-at-home dad because he was always at the school.
I heard you tell that story, and that's I
and
love
I'm
that.
And I'm just like, this man go to work, and I'm not taking care of him. But, you know, one day we were leaving, and I think it was the Thanksgiving. They did the turkey thing at school. Mm-hmm. So I asked Biscuit, I said, are you going home with me or your dad? And before she could even answer, her teacher said to me, y'all don't live together?
Right.
And in my head, I'm thinking, damn, she knows him. Right.
I will say, what teacher was that? Right. I probably know who it was.
I can't tell you. I love her. Though. I love her. Right. But she was like, y'all don't live together? And yeah. I was like, no. Yeah. And I'm like, first of all, y'all already think the man is a stay-at-home dad, but whatever. So she was, when I saw her, like, after the Thanksgiving break, she said, you know, us at the school, that let me know they'd be talking about you. Right. But they really thought that, you know, because you guys always show up, Rico's so active at the school, and she does so well, we really thought y'all were a couple. And yeah. I was like, I don't know why the hell y'all thought that, but okay. But that's what inspired me.
You don't sound like me. Like, there's no ring. I used to walk around all the time. There's no ring. I'm like, look, because the secretary at Lincoln to this day, I was like, my last name is Bennett. And so she'll try to call me by
their last name.
Yeah, and I'm like, my last, I'll do this. And I love Miss Lolita so much.
I know.
She'll be like, there's no ring on this finger.
Listen,
we are co-parenting.
And I'm like, it's already bad enough. Y'all probably, listen, that made me feel like, so they really just be at the school, be like, oh, that woman taking care of Rico. Like, that's what I'm thinking because they talk about you. Yeah. But that inspired me to write my second book. And to be honest, my life coach, which I don't think I've ever shared this. Actually, I haven't. I haven't shared it with anyone why I went and got my life's coaching certificate. But at the time, I can't even say it was a bad relationship. It was a situationship.
Yeah.
It was a situationship.
Oh, Lord.
And it was just, it was horrible, to be honest. It was, it was really, really bad. And I just was like, Lord, I need to be on my own couch.
Yeah.
I need to be able to release myself and not be just, like, it just, I was in a bad headspace emotionally, mentally. Like, I just was. So, one of the my followers on Instagram had posted that she went and got her life coach. And I was like, instead of me going to see a therapist about this, let me just turn this around and benefit me. So I just was like, okay, I could do this. I started just taking the courses and it was something that came naturally to me. But I was just like, I know there are other women who go through the same things at times. And it's just like, they don't want to go see a therapist.
Right.
They need a life coach. Mm-hmm. They need a moment coach. And I tell some of my clients that all the time. I'm not going to always be a life coach because I can't coach you for life.
Yeah.
But I can coach you for this moment and these moments to come, you know. So that's how I ended up getting my life coaching certificate. So at this point, we know we got the fashion show. We got Chat with China rolling. We got the books rolling. And we got the
mentorship.
The mentorship, you know. So it just – and I just – you know, balance it as it comes. So
how do you balance it?
By appointment only.
How in the world do you balance
appointment
it?
Only? Right now I don't have as many clients as far as my youth coach and life coaching or youth mentoring life coaching goes right now. But events are sporadic, and you know, I make the money off of that, and you know, it's, you know, so
yeah. So what do you see in the future for you?
I'm retiring by the end of this year. Look, he looked up.
I'm sitting here like, let me formulate how I'm going to spin it.
Right? Listen, because I'm working on something. Mm-hmm. So I plan to retire by the end of the year
from your day job.
From corporate America, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's going to allow me the opportunity to do what I love full time.
What is it that you love? Everything that you just stated, is there one thing that you love more so than the other?
I love Chat with China.
You love Chat with China.
I love Chat with China.
So that's your baby.
I get to connect with people. I get to really help. And like I said in one of my just interviews, sometimes I'm the person that's inspired off of the couch. Mm-hmm. If I can just leave one person, but sometimes it is me. But I'm very passionate about Chat with China.
Good.
Very.
Good, good, good. So. And I'm, you know what? And it's, I'm glad that you said that you are passionate about Chat with China because you're very good at it. I feel like you are, You're very dope at it.
Thank you.
And one of the topics that we had that you pitched to me was the support part of it. Mm-hmm. The importance of support. How do I feel about support? You know, when you're going through these different ventures that you have, and I see you always call Ashley your slider. So yes! We know that Ashley is your best friend. I know I didn't afford you the opportunity to give shout outs.
It's okay.
Yes, that is on the show. Slider.
That's my person.
But that's your person.
She's my person.
She's your person. Like, she's your go-to. She's your motivator. She's just it.
She's just it. She's that's just my it. Person. Yeah.
And that is a blessing to have.
It's going to tell you that is a blessing.
And then to top it off, makeup artist. She's great with marketing. So you got a good person.
I do. I am blessed. Yeah. Listen, I'm trying not to tear up now, but I get tears.
And y'all can pair it together.
Listen, I honestly get tears when I think about just my relationship with her. Like, she really is my person, my go-to person, for everything. If I need to cry, if I need to vent, if I need to, you know, just everything. When I tell you, that's my person.
That's your person.
That's my person.
And you're her person.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my girl. Like, that's my girl. Yeah.
So with having that, because not everybody has that, you know, some of us have that person wrapped into several people. But to have that person, Marshina, that and people who are listening, and you know, and you see, I'm pretty sure you get to see different female relationships, different dynamics, different relationships from your circle, different circles. Right. And so you know how important it is to have that person. Mm-hmm. And so what does it take to be that person? Like, let's talk about the support portion of it. What type of person do you need?
A selfless person. Mm-hmm. An open-minded person, a like-minded person, a goal-oriented person, a self-driven person. Because sometimes, you know, it's good that you have that person to motivate you, but if you're not motivated yourself, you're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, just all of that, self-minded, spiritually minded, open, just, you have to have a beautiful soul.
Yeah.
You do. You have to have a beautiful soul. And just, and I feel like Ashley's just like all of that. Like, she just, that's my girl.
Love it. And she's a beautiful person. So, Ashley, we love you here.
We do slide
on the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz. Look,
but wait, don't give her too much credit, because I don't want to cry, but I got to tell y'all, first of all, how we even became friends.
Because I was going to ask you, like, when did you guys meet and all of that?
Actually, our friend anniversary is coming up. I got to go look. I think it's in July. Mm-hmm. But, and it's crazy because just yesterday, or was it today, she sent me a picture that we took in like 2015. And I turned around and responded with her a picture that we just took last week. And I was like, we have literally grown up.
Yeah.
But let me tell y'all about Ashley, since she got me up here about to cry. Let me tell you about how she was not going to be my person. So Odoria Scott had a fashion show. Yeah. In 2015, I think it was 14 or 15. I think it was 15. I can't remember the name of the show, but either way, I was there to get my makeup done for the show, and Ashley was one of the makeup artists.
So was it The Clash?
The Clash, yes.
Because I hosted that show for her.
Okay, so we were
and Ashley did my makeup. She actually did my makeup for that show.
So we were at The Clash, and I can't call it the other one, but Ashley knows who she is, so. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, well, I'll do your eyebrows and Ashley can do your makeup. And I was like, okay, well, you're a makeup artist, you do it. Listen, this girl came and sat on me, like literally straddled me and started to do my eyebrows. So I just happened to peep around her and I looked at Ashley like, what the hell is this?
Right.
So Ashley said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of her. And I didn't even know Ashley. Yeah. I've known of her because.
Oh, so that's where you guys met?
Well, like, no, she had did my makeup for Walk This Way Productions before, but we hadn't built a relationship. Okay, like, she had done my makeup twice for Walk This Way, but it was kind of like I was in her chair then out. Like, I didn't know her like that, you know? So we hadn't built a relationship or anything. It was just like, she did my makeup and that was that.
Got you.
But at The Clash, I just don't even look at her because I know damn well this girl ain't just straddled me.
You gonna have to tell me who that was out of this show.
I'm gonna tell you on the camera. I can't tell you on the camera.
I cannot.
Listen, she straddled me. Ashley can attest. And I looked at her.
I've never. You know what that reminds me of? It's like when guys go get haircuts and they're like, dude, like your junk is all.
Listen, she straddled me.
But that's a new one, right?
It was like proceeded to do. And I'm like. And Ash was like, don't worry about it, I'll take care of her.
Right.
And then after that, we really just clicked. Like, she did my makeup. Mm-hmm. And then I had a photo shoot with Titus. We're in Titus's studio.
Right.
I had a photo shoot with Titus a few days later. So I was like, hey, can you do my makeup? And she was like, yeah. And we found out we lived right around the corner from each other in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And the rest is just history. That's like, amazing. She did my makeup that first time. And we've been friends ever since.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
But she almost went my slider. She wasn't going to save me because, baby. This girl straddled me, but I'm gonna tell you off the camera.
I cannot wait. Like that's a hilarious story.
Listen.
You know what? And I also have to give a shout out to Ashley because Ashley actually did my makeup for the flyer that you see me use for Jazzy Conversations with Jazz. Like I tapped into Titus when he was doing like a free promo because he was looking for pictures to hang in his studio.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, just said, you can come if you want to come and get your picture taken. And then like if you're chosen to come and do it. And so she actually did my makeup for that flyer. Yeah. So look, and then when you say eyebrows, like she's a beast.
Listen, her eyebrows are signature.
They're so natural. Like, yes.
I'm going to see her on Wednesday morning to get mine tinted. She already know.
That is amazing. So what advice would you give? Before I go with the advice question, I'm going to slide back to the support part of it.
Okay.
Because when you said chat with China was what you're really, really passionate about. And so here you're sitting with me and I have Jazzy Conversations with Jazz. And so I feel no way threatened. I know that you feel no way threatened.
You've reached out to me before to be a backup for you. So it was, you know.
So it's like, So like I've slid her because I'm like at this point, like, yeah, like I will feel confident like pitching you like if whatever the case may be because you're just as, I didn't say what I'm saying because when someone said that to me, it was almost like a backhanded conversation. It was almost kind of like a backhanded compliment. Like, well, since I can't do it, then you can do it. I'm like,
oh,
well, that's not how I really want you to say it.
Right.
So, that's why I did not. I know people are like, Jazz, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is she's just as dope as I am when it comes to hosting. And I feel like when you are confident in your talent, I couldn't do chat with China like you do chat with China ever.
Agreed.
You could never do Jazzy Conversations with Jazz like I do Jazzy Conversations with
Agreed.
Jazz. So there's no kind of like competition, rivalry or whatever. Like when I see you, I'm like, I want to uplift you. And it's like, and I try to catch like your lives or try to like give you like comments or whatever, like when I'm on, because I feel like that's what we need to do. And what's so ironic about this whole interview is while she was reaching out to me, or did I reach out to
you? I think we were at the same.
It's like we were reaching out to each other at the same time.
We were.
It's like I wanted her to be on my show and she wanted me to be on her show. And I'm like, look, it was at the same time. Like we asked one another. So I was like, look, we got to make this happen because for us to be on the same page at the same time.
And we ran the interviews back to back.
Right. And so I'm just here to just publicly say that I'm a cheerleader of yours.
Aww.
I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
Because I don't feel like it's a happenstance. I don't feel like it's a fly-by-night thing. You can tell that you have your heart and soul in it. And anytime I can meet anybody who's as passionate about hosting as I am, I'm like, finally, a kindred spirit. Like, she gets where I'm coming from. Like, you get it. And so I feel like you pour so much into your audience, into the people that you interview. And because of that, you know, people are entertained, they're informed, they're engaged, and it makes their Thursday nights even better.
Yes.
And so I want to thank you for making this Monday night.
Oh, no, thank you for having better. Me. I feel like something like this, it definitely goes to show, like, we can support it. There's no hate, like, backhand
Absolutely.
Comments. Like, there is like, none of that. It's like, We can do this. And we did this.
So before we leave, yes. I want you to give you a chance to give your shout out. And I want you to give some advice to an aspiring mother, someone who wants to do it all, but they keep running into a wall with people telling them that they can't do it all. Give some advice to that person and definitely let's take us out with your shout outs.
Okay. Advice that I can give to an inspiring mom is you got to make that shit happen. You have to. like my mom said, failure is not an option. Because it's not. You got to make that shit happen. That's the best advice I can give you, is make that shit happen. Like, you have to. One of my shout outs, which I'm excited about. I know that she and I haven't spoken in a while, but I saw that she checked in. I don't know if she's still on here, but I'm going to tag her in the end of this video. You are interviewing Jay Hunt next week.
I am. Ooh, I love me some Jay Hunt.
So listen, I'm excited that she has picked back up. I know that, you know, she had the babies. Mm-hmm. She was sick, but she has gotten back into being Jay Hunt.
Yes.
And when Jay Hunt was on the runway, baby.
Yes, ma'am.
You knew it.
Yes.
Hunting time. Listen, I knew.
We went to fashion school together.
Did you guys?
Not a lot of people know that, but my first semester at the International Academy of Design and Technology was with Jay Hunt. Was when I met her.
Listen, yep. She is a dope person. Yeah. Her gowns are just, even not even gowns, because she's made some personal
anything
pieces.
Anything. Gonna say she's made me something.
So I definitely want to say a shout out to her, because girl, you back. Like, she's back.
We love you, Jazz.
We do. So I definitely want to shout out her. I got to shout out Biscuit, because she's here with her mommy today. And I don't think I would be the mom or the woman that I am, because it's like I can't imagine my life without her now.
Yeah.
So it's like I am who I am because she's molded me into be this mom, you know, and I figured some shit out, made it happen, and I'm still making it happen. So I definitely want to shout out Biscuit. I want to shout out my mommy, because that's my mommy.
Right.
And I love her. My boyfriend is a support system, and I feel like that's important to have.
Yeah,
especially when you have a book you're launching, when you have a fashion show, when you have other events, you know, just to be able to still have that support system at home, I feel like it's very important.
Listen, I'm going to give you a personal shout out, because when you showed up to her interview last Thursday,
and just swooped in and just like, he does. So I definitely want to
thought that was
shout
extremely
him out,
dope.
Because just to have that, and it, sometimes we do take that for granted. Yeah. So it's like just to have that support system. And really quick, to end my shout outs with my support system, my sister who is in Texas, all of my siblings, to be honest, and I want to name them, Tim, Sheikha, Nard, like Mercedes. When I have something, my siblings going to step for me. I can't say nobody else siblings going to step, but mine, they going to be there.
That's
that
a blessing,
so
too.
Important to
That's
me.
Awesome,
like,
too.
So important to me. So I definitely have to shout out my siblings. My sister Mercedes, like, my relationship with her is everything. And I really just, you know, I got my support system. That's who my shout out goes to. And it's always the same people that are there. My cousin Franquise, I have to tag her at the end of this as well, because she is like my right hand. I don't have to talk to her every day, but if I need something, she coming. That's good. If she needs something, I'm there. So just my support system itself is just like, it warms my heart, because that's genuine love that I get from everybody. So.
And I don't think that you can get that without being a genuine person yourself. So I feel like that screams a lot about you. So kudos to you, because I'm pretty sure they can put whatever they want to put in the comments, and they should be, you know, giving you some big ups and all of that good stuff.
I'm going to tag all of them and tell them to watch
the end.
Yes,
like,
of course,
I love it.
You know, I got to shout out you. I have to do better with making sure that I support, because like you said, you try to log on, and sometimes we get so busy.
So
it's
busy.
Like, you know, so it's I have to do better, but definitely, because I love what you are doing.
Thank you.
And I love the jazzy conversation.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, and you have an open invitation anytime. So I can't wait to be back on Chat with China.
Listen, I just got to figure out the dates, but we have topics that we're going to talk about.
We're going to talk about it. Look, so yeah, we'll talk about it. So listen, this has been episode 30 of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast, The Wild Card. And so I know that you by now have seen why I, in fact, titled it The Wild Card with Marcina Latrice. They slept on you, but now they're awake.
They are
woke, okay? Listen, so her personality is as bright as this beautiful color of pop of yellow that she's wearing, and I love it. Look, it matches my nails. You need to get your nails painted.
Listen, I have a nail appointment. Shout out to Bree. I'm going to get my nails done.
Get it. So follow me on Instagram. Follow me on IG and IG is Instagram. Follow me on IG, Facebook, and on YouTube at Jazzy Conversations with Jazz Podcast. The podcast airs every Monday And you know that the cornerstone of my podcast is to celebrate the power of a dope comeback story. So I would love for you to be a part of my Jazzy crew. And you all know Goal, G-O-A-L diggers are welcome.
Yes, we love it. Get that.